Welcome back to the program. You may have noticed a few green issues special for April on the newsstands. And as April winds down, wanted to profile another one. We had Fortune magazine on a couple of weeks ago. Vanity Fair, of course, made history when it became the first sort of glamorous mainstream magazine to devote an entire issue to green issues last year. And it was so well received. I remember reading Graydon Carter writing about that they've decided to do another one this year. I want to introduce Colin Murphy. He is the man responsible for this year's green issue. He's the editor at large for Vanity Fair. Welcome to EcoTalk.
Very glad to be here, Betsy.
Yeah, so you kind of make it glamorous, which is a good thing. Anything that can make environmentalism sexy, important, trendy, cool. And it's more than that, but it's nice that Vanity Fair recognizes the impact, especially for your readers, of doing something that is devoted to such an important issue, so many important issues, really, but global warming being the big one. And obviously, you recognize that with Leo DiCaprio on the cover.
That's one of the great things about Vanity Fair as a magazine, is that it can combine a certain amount of glamour with real substance in terms of journalism. And when it comes to something like the environment, I think that's a winning combination.
Now, speaking of substance, I want to just give your credentials here. You were co-author on a book called Rubbish, The Archaeology of Garbage, with William Rathje.
I was indeed. About 15 years ago, it was a book that looked at garbage as if it was archaeology. We all know that garbage from the past can tell us a lot about past societies. Well, it stands to reason that garbage from the present can tell us a lot about our own society. And from that premise grew an entire book, still in print.
And when I started Trash Talk, a one-minute version of this 10 years ago, he was the first guest I had on. And that book had been out a couple of years. And it was kind of, at that point, really kind of a radical thought to think that our garbage doesn't just go away, it actually goes someplace, and that hot dogs from, 20 years ago could actually be petrified and still not taking up a lot of space, but, things don't just biodegrade and disappear.
Well, that's exactly the case. You find these 20-year-old steaks, not that you'd want to eat them, but they're mummified, and I think Bill and that book certainly helped train some attention on that important subject.
Okay, so how did you decide who to profile in this edition? I'm sure you had lots of qualified candidates who were out there leading the environmental movement in various sectors. I know because we have them on our program each and every day.
Well, that's right. In fact, one of the most optimistic making things about the country today is just how many people there are who are lending their shoulders to this endeavor. We're fortunate at Vanity Fair to have a passionate staff that cares about this issue. So there's no shortage of ideas, and we collect names. Now that we've had a year's experience, we collect names, and and then finally all sit down as a team to try to figure out who to do. The reason that Leonardo DiCaprio is on the cover is in large part due to the fact that he has a really terrific documentary that's just about to come out. In fact, I think it's going to have its premiere at the Cannes Film Festival in about a month, called The 11th Hour. And I think it's the next inconvenient truth.
That's what we've heard.
Really an extraordinary piece of filmmaking.
And he really has been, really leading the charge to spread awareness about global warming for some time. There's a lot of celebrities that are kind of, Julia come lately. So I was a little surprised to see Julia Roberts on the cover last year. It's great that she is. I'm not knocking it. But I remember reading a story about why he's so concerned about our environmental issues. And he told a story about his grandfather having worked in a factory in Germany.
In Germany,
yeah,
right.
And how when they rebuilt it, they put the smokestacks too close to the building. And a lot of people got sick. And that really raised his own awareness about the connection between health and environment. And that really got me interested in doing a book on all these eco-epiphanies that people do, that have, and what that does to change their work, their careers, their lives, their awareness.
That's right. Well, let me mention something about this film of his. We print verbatim excerpts from from his forthcoming documentary in the magazine, which are really pretty terrific in their own right, because what he did was he went and found a lot of very smart and very eloquent people who could speak on this subject. And he just had them talking. And I should point out that his documentary is not just about global warming. It's about a whole range of environmental issues. So in that sense, it's a more comprehensive movie than An Inconvenient Truth. And on top of that, he does something that's really wonderful, and that is he gets these people talking about solutions and about how this doesn't have to be a time of hand-wringing where we're all contemplating, you know, just the lowering of our lifestyles and so on. He says this is one of the great challenging, you know, epochs in human history. You know, we have it in our power to redesign everything. And so in that way, it's a very optimistic movie.
You have a cute, adorable little polar bear looking up at Leo on the cover. Is that real, or did you do that somehow through the magic of computer, to put together covers?
It's both real and it's also magic. That that polar bear was born in the Berlin Zoo, and of course we couldn't take a newborn polar bear over to Iceland, but the zoo authorities allowed Annie Leibovitz, who took the photograph of Leonardo DiCaprio for the cover, also to come to Berlin and take the photograph of the polar bear. And because of the polar bear's special status at the moment, you know, it's being considered for listing as an endangered species, and because it's so threatened by the melting of the sea ice, it just seemed the perfect kind of animal to share the cover.
And how's this issue selling on the newsstands? Is it getting a little more attention and sales than you normally would get? I'm hoping that's the case. People who wouldn't necessarily buy Vanity Fair.
This issue does well. If the business people at the magazine were sitting next to me, they would be saying, "Tell everybody it's still on the newsstand."
Uh-huh.
It is still on the newsstand, and what that means is we don't know the answer to your question yet.
Thank you so much, Colin Murphy, and we hope that next year you really profile a lot of unsung heroes who we know because we interview them every day here, and you have some of them in your issue. But if you ever need some more ideas, just check with EcoTalk.
I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone. We'll sing and dance to Mother Nature's songs. I don't want this feeling to go away.